Where did the road go? Off-road edition.
Welcome to this off-road edition of Where Did the Road Go? And I have with me Barbara Fisher.
Hey, how's it going?
Of 6 Degrees of John Keel podcast, which is great if you haven't checked it out. Super Inframan.
Hello, hello.
And Christopher Ernst.
Hey, everybody.
And we couldn't not do a show with all this UAP nonsense going on. And I've had a few listeners be like, you're doing shows on, you're going to do a show on this, right? And it's like, yeah, we're going to have to do it. I mean, we have no choice. We got to say something, I guess.
Somebody got to say a thing.
Right.
It's interesting to watch the comments on this. And do one of you or should I go through what has been happening?
Well, I didn't bring my notes, so maybe you should do it.
All right. There's actually a good article that came out on The Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is.
That says why everyone is suddenly talking about aliens. And it says, if ever a headline has demanded a wide-eyed, scrambling-to-click reaction, it might be this one. Intelligence officials say U.S. has retrieved craft of non-human origin. A website called The Debrief, which says it specializes in frontier science and describes itself as self-funded, reported this week that a former intelligence official named David, Grush?
Grush, G-R-U-S-C-H.
Grush, Grush.
Grush, Grush.
Said that
Grush.
Said that the U.S.
Don't
government.
Grush. Sorry.
Said that the U.S. government has spent decades secretly recovering intact vehicles and partial fragments that weren't made by humans. Officials, Grush said, sought to avoid congressional oversight while reverse engineering these materials for the government's own purpose. In a separate interview with News Nation, which has advertised itself as an alternative to major cable networks, Grush said the military had even discovered dead pilots of these craft. Believe it or not, as fantastical as it sounds, it's true, he said. Grush's account has spread quickly across social media and been repeated by news outlets, including The Guardian, Fox News, New York Magazine, as well as plenty of local network affiliates. And why wouldn't it be? This story has everything. A seemingly authoritative source spilling secrets about a government operation designed to keep the American public in the dark. Oh, and aliens. The only problem is there's nothing backing it up. Ever since UFOs, also now known as UAPs for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, first became a cultural sensation in the technology-fueled post-war era, people have latched onto worries or stories like this one. The cycle is usually moved this way. Someone with a military or government experience comes forward with a strange experience or encounter. They have no hard evidence, but given their background, are perceived to be, by some, reliable and a reliable observer anyway. Tabloids amplify the story, fanning public interest and demanding that the government reveal whatever they must be hiding. Officials deny they've found evidence of extraterrestrial activity, which only fuels conspiracy thinking. This is familiar territory. Greg Higan, E-G-H-I-G-I-A-N, a historian at Pennsylvania State University who has studied UFO culture, told me, and it never leads anywhere concrete. So that was kind of the overview. This guy has come out now and said this stuff, and of course people are, disclosure's happening. Here we go. Again, disclosure's happening.
Again. So wasn't it just a year ago?
One thing to note, too, that I think it's important to note about this is that this is, I mean, as you noted, this is Blumenthal and Keen who came forward with this, and that they were the ones who originally did the 2017 story that was in the New York Times along with Hillian Cooper. But this was now in the debrief, but apparently they went to the Times with this and to Politico and to the Post prior to releasing it on the debrief. Those other places essentially said, you didn't give us enough time to vet it. Like they wanted more time to vet it. And then Keen and Blumenthal, they decided there was some reason that it needed to get out immediately. Maybe some of y'all can talk more about to that so that they put it through the debrief, which is not very well known outside of maybe circles we run in.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Vanity Fair came out this morning with an article titled "Why the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Politico Didn't Publish a Seemingly Bombshell Report About UFOs."
Okay.
It's really good, a really good article, and I was very happy to know that what I said last night was correct. They gave it to the Washington Post first. The Washington Post had it for 5 weeks, supposedly, and they were trying to get more information to corroborate the story. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the story, there's basically one source, and he did not personally see any of this evidence that he talks about. He talked with people in the intelligence services who said they saw it, who said they saw and worked with the vehicles or the parts of vehicles, and they saw and worked with the bodies. Now, what's interesting here, too, is the bodies weren't mentioned in the debrief.
Right, right.
That came out later when he was interviewed yesterday. So that came out in a different story, essentially. They didn't have that in the original story, which I wonder about. So basically, the Washington Post was like, yeah, we'll print it, but we need time to corroborate and maybe get some more sources. The New York Times basically said, if you don't let us corroborate, no. Mm-hmm. You know, they were like, no, we need more sources. Thank you. You know how this works. You've written for us before. And Politico was very adamant that it needed more sources.
Yeah.
That it needed corroboration, that otherwise it was rumor only.
Yeah. So, you know, and to add to that, I was talking to Arthur Parvati on the Discord, and he had shared a video of Keen talking about, mm-hmm. you know, kind of their rebuttal to why they put it out so mm-hmm. fast. And basically, like, he alludes to, like, things that are coming, like videos that are about to come out and what have you. But it doesn't get much further than that. It's an interesting thing to watch, because then she talks about Grush getting, like, strange phone calls and, like, people talking about FBI raids. And all of that just reminds me of every other person that's claimed to, you know, have the insider information and saying that they were, you know, harassed or whatever by government officials or whoever else. And you know, I kind of went two ways in my head on it. I was like, well, either he's making it up to give them a little bit more oomph, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My other two thoughts were, you know, if this is all an op, then that's just part of the op and they don't know they're a part of it. Or maybe, you know, other people involved in this grift knew it was coming too and were, you know, kind of trying to scare Grush away from where they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to come out in the next few months that they can make money off anything?
We know Josh was
saying, I was about to say,
go ahead. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead. You do it. No, you go.
Lou Elizondo has a book coming out in October. And that is, to me, somewhat suspicious. Again, Lou is the one that we had the disclosure from, what, a year ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, there's bodies and pieces and parts and things and stuff. And he never produced a shred of evidence.
Nope.
Yeah.
Which is why every time I see his face on a screen, I just I say things that Soraya's mean and won't let me say here. And I don't say I'm on my own podcast either, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, it's and the thing is, it's the same stuff over and over again. It's just now in hyperspeed, whereas before you had a few years before between these things coming out. But now with social media, you're getting it every 6 months. It's the same story. There's no evidence. And you get these UFO fanboys who are like, it's time, it's time, it's here. And it's like, do you not learn? What's it going to take for you to learn that this is all the same thing and you're never going to get, you're chasing the carrot and they keep moving the carrot.
Over and over again, y'all.
I don't know, obviously people can change and the circles they run in, but I am curious as to what Leslie Cain has to do in all of this. Because I feel like she has her toe in this other world too, which was like the Bud Hopkins world of things. And mm-hmm. I don't mean that as a euphemism, but it's, you know, they're like, I guess she seems like she's from a slightly different world. And I'm a little like, I'm wondering like what kind of what her motivation is. Like, does she really need to help Lou Elizondo sell books? I don't know. I mean,
controversy creates cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they do charge speakers fees, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Probably. And I mean, she has written what, two books now?
Yes.
Or is it just one?
I thought you don't know. She did the one. Yeah, you're right. She did the pilots one and then she did the afterlife one.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
You're right. Yeah. And Blumenthal wrote the one, the biography of John Mack, which was actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, you know, people will hear us talk about this and they'll be like, you guys are just debunkers. And it's like, no, we are fully.
No, not at all. To be true.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, you know, I want to know what the truth is. I don't want all this nonsense about governments and aliens, because this phenomenon, whatever it is personal.
Well, you have to be to be able to be discerning about any of this, especially if you're dealing with anomalous phenomena.
Yeah, but I
think that, you know, there's a difference between, again, it's that idea of acceptance and faith and skepticism and, you know, what do those words mean at this point? Yeah.
And I think it's okay. So there are bands that have put out, great bands who have put out absolutely awful records, right? And every once in a while, I'll meet someone and they love that record. And I'll be like, why? And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it was the first one they heard. You know, so they have, like it holds a special place for them because it's how they discovered the band. Yeah, they realize it's not as good as the other ones, but that was the first one they heard. And
it's like my Doctor Who is always Tom Baker.
Right. And I think.
And mine's John Pertwee. Right. So, yeah, I understand. I'm telling my damned age again.
I love it.
Mine was Christopher Eccleston, but I like David Tennant better. I think when you're dealing with paranormal subjects, it's sort of the same thing. Like someone gets into UFOs because they love the idea of aliens. So they either don't investigate it that deeply or they do, but they just kind of ignore the stuff that kind of suggests that this aliens don't make sense because they really love the idea of aliens. The same with Bigfoot. You know, people are like, oh, I love the idea of a flesh and blood creature being out there that we haven't discovered. And then you say, but maybe maybe it's not that. And they go, no, why are you a debunker? And it's like, I'm not. I'm looking at the evidence.
Right. Well, and at this point, too, like, and again, you know, it may be back to that kind of novice effect you're talking about or that first time effect. But it's like, once you've seen this happen so many times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe I believe in a completely nuts and bolts, you know, UFO phenomenon with, you know, humanoids from Zeta Reticuli, whatever. But at this point, even if I believe that, as many times as I have seen this same song and dance repeated and, you know, now repeated so many more times in a such, you know, shortened length of time, like, of course, I'm not going, at least for me. And I would assume most reasonable people would be like, how is this any different? Like, aren't you tired of the same song and dance?
Come on, To the Stars was going to change the world. They were going to fully disclose UFOs and they're gone and they didn't do anything.
And Bigelow Airspace and Skinwalker Ranch and all of it.
I would love to know what info Bigelow really has from Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, there's stuff that happened if you can believe what Knapp has written about.
Yeah, but now
Sadly, half the time they didn't like analyze it very well.
Yeah.
And the longer Knapp ties with Corbell, the less I have faith in anything he's done.
Exactly. That's the problem. I mean, George Knapp was one of the people who inspired me to do a show like this. I loved George Knapp's Coast to Coasts. I thought he was fantastic because he actually knew the subject matter. He'd have a guest on and he knew the subject matter. He wasn't just winging it. He will have read the book. He did some research. But now it's like, man, now if it's associated with George Knapp, it actually makes it less credible to me because he's hooked up with all these not credible people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Barbara, you made that observation about the Las Vegas alien story today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a meth.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. So a friend of mine sends me, you know, I've been getting like from all of my friends, hey, have you heard about the disclosure? Yeah, I've heard about the disclosure. Hey, have you? But this one was, have you seen the thing in Vegas? And I was like, what thing in Vegas? So a light is seen over Las Vegas, a blue-green light, and there's video of it from a cop's, I can't remember if it was his car camera or if it was his body cam.
Yeah, it's
but
like
a cop saw it.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's through the windshield, so it's probably, you know, his body cam. And he said, hey, look at that. What is that? And they were like, and the driver of the car was like, whoa, you know. And then like 10 minutes later, the police department gets a phone call from somebody in like sort of just outside the city limits or just within the city limits. And they're like, hey, something fell in our backyard. And it's like, well, and there are creatures. So what they saw, and that's about how he said it. He had this voice. He sounded like he was trying to describe it without sounding like an idiot.
He's like 10 feet tall, 8 feet tall.
Tall. They're big eyes. With big eyes. And so he did sound actually like he might have been scared, but was trying to like not do what I probably would do. They're 10 feet tall. They're 10 feet tall and they have eyes. And they have eyes. They're huge. And the big, and I'll try to video him. And my husband's out there video. He said he wouldn't video him, so I have to try to say, so why don't you talk to him, Zach? That would be how I would do it. And that is so embarrassing for me to admit, but it is true. I would probably sound like I was on speed. And I would not be. I would just be, you know, gobsmacked. Oh, yeah. But they saw two 10-foot tall creatures. One was still inside the object. And the other one was walking around outside the object. Okay, so about an hour later, the cops get there. And I'm wondering why it took them that long.
Yeah.
But I live in a small town, so whatever. And they turn off the camera as they go back into the backyard.
Really?
Uh-huh. Because it's private property. Yeah. That was the excuse, but right. I don't buy that.
Right.
What does that have to do with anything? I mean, they called the cops to come look at this thing.
I've seen enough episodes of Cops to know that you don't have to turn it off when you go inside to see the guy with no shirt on. Come on.
Right.
Right. So we go back there. There is no mention when they come back out that they saw an object. There is no mention that they saw 10-foot tall people, creatures, whatever. And it just sounded kind of weirdly suspicious. And in the middle of them, you know, covering the camera, there's a cut back to the newsroom. And one of the on-air person, reporter, is talking to one of the anchors and is saying, you know, this is pretty incredible, blah, 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 blah. You know, usually we get this stuff reported to us by George Knapp. He's usually the one who covers this for us, but we got it today. So we decided. You know, and as soon as Knapp's name came up, I was like, ah, hell, you know, what is that? And then they flash back to the cops going, well, if this happens again, you know, don't call us. We're not going to deal with 10 foot tall. So obviously there were no 10 foot tall things back there by the time the cops got back there or an object, or they didn't want to talk about it. So people wouldn't go running, trying to find the place.
And I mean, we know these experiences tend not to be long-term experiences most of the time.
No.
So let's assume they had this actual experience. It probably only lasted a few minutes. By the time the cops got there, everything was back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we're running with it anyway because, well, people care about UFOs right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
and I think if you go look on like Reddit and some other places, there are people like trying to say that there's a couple frames where you can see one of the figures in the cop's camera before he turns it off.
Mm. Hmm.
And it's if I'm thinking of the right thing, I mean, people are posting Las Vegas, you know, cop, alien, whatever. Mm-hmm. But and again, I you know, don't want to sound like a debunker, but like it's the film quality is horrible. And there's just like kind of some shapes there, but nothing that looks like anything, you know,
So nothing definitive.
Sure, like, yeah, I mean, it's probably stuff on their back porch just sitting there, you know, like it's not a alien from outer space.
Right.
And also, if you think, hey, we're investigating what could be a real UFO landing on someone's property, let's turn the camera off.
Yeah, that's weird.
Man. And like I said, maybe these people really did have an experience.
I don't think that they didn't. I think they did. I think they saw something. And the reason that particular cop car came out is because one of them actually saw the light that was reported to be coming down towards the city. So that's why the driver said, hey, my partner saw it. Yeah. So, you know, that's why we're here. which may be why it took them an hour.
Yeah.
They could have been on the other side of town. And the dispatcher, you know, said, okay, fine, you guys go after it, not sending the closest.
And again, this comes down to, this is a real phenomena. I mean, whatever is behind the UFO phenomena is a very real phenomena. It's just been and now it's being hijacked. It was hijacked by people like Bud Hopkins and what's his name there? The other one who
Dave
did all
Jacobs.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah. initially, you know, along with others, to turn it into this hybrid thing that it's not. And now it's being hijacked by these basically, you know, disinfo agents from that used to work or probably still work in some cases for the government to turn it into a psyop of some sort. And it takes away from what the actual phenomena is, which is very, very strange and very, very personal in most cases.
Yeah. And the thing that, you know, I follow Gary Nolan a lot because he's one of the people who supposedly has tested the metamaterials
right.
that Dr. Verlet talks about all right. the time. And just recently he was interviewed on a little 10-minute video, and he said there is no question the aliens are here, and they've been here a long time, and they've been interacting with us for a very long time. He doesn't say extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
He very carefully doesn't.
Yes.
Gary Nolan.
Wow.
Do you think that invisible, and this is just a straight up question for all of you, Nolan being part of, I guess, like the new breed of the Invisible College, maybe? I don't know. I don't know if we're
pretty much
in agreement. Yeah.
Like
Dr. Pasulka, maybe another
Kit
one.
Kit Green, Chris right? Mellon.
And do you all think that they have a Judeo-Christian, particularly Christian predisposition to their outlook on these things? I've been thinking about that a lot, and it's not just because of the Rosicrucian sort of standpoint that like Valet brought into it.
I don't think so. What Pasulka says, though, that I find interesting is she believes that there is an attempt to create a new religion.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm picking up on.
That there is an attempt to capture humans' imaginations and turn it toward the stars. So you also have to take into account experiencers like Chris Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Who just came out with a book, which I haven't read yet, but I am intending on reading, called The UFO of God. Mm. He very much is a Christian, and yet he is also very enamored of the lady, which he says was revealed to him by the UFO orbs that he sees, and he swears she's not the Virgin Mary, and I'm like, okay, whatever. It was really funny. He was lecturing me about goddess worship, and I've been a goddess worshiping witch for 40 something years. Really? And I was like, dude, don't even, you know, it's
that's
like
really irritating.
Don't do that. don't lecture me about the lady. Yeah. Cause I know about her. but he very much has that wanting to create a religion, or is in the middle of creating a religion, or co-creating it, as Greg Bishop would say. And I think that's probably the more correct term. Co-creating.
And it's not the first time we've seen that with the UFO phenomena.
No, it is not. It is not, but it's just interesting that I keep hearing alien all the time. And I just have this feeling that it wants us to believe that they are extraterrestrial, that they want us to believe that they are alien, and yet create a belief system around it.
You think the phenomena wants us to believe this?
I think it does, and I think that some people possibly in our government want us to believe that they are aliens, that they are extraterrestrials.
Oh, I think the second part there, definitely.
Because the explanation is too weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The explanation is too strange otherwise.
Yep.
We can accept aliens because we've been watching Star Trek for a long time now.
Right. Yeah.
But can we accept, maybe they're living under the ocean and have been for thousands of years,
or exist in the same place as we do, but at a frequency we can't perceive normally.
I was about to get to that. Or yeah. In just a step aside from us.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That one is actually my favorite explanation, but
oh, mine too.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's how the jinn are described by Muslim scholars.
Right,
they actually live in a dimension that's a few degrees off of ours, or in frequency, or they're just invisible to us in some way.
And when you talk about like Diana and Nolan and stuff, like these are people who, like, on the one hand, I think, well, they seem to be a little more rational about this stuff, but at the same time, my gut says, don't trust these people.
Well, unfortunately, they do sound rational. I mean, they do sound like...
They sound like the type of people we want on this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And have you read Pasulka's book?
No.
Okay, so she's talking about these two men in her book, and she gives them different names, who have been finding bits and pieces of anomalous metal
right
somewhere in the Southwest in what they call the gifting field.
Right. And they take her there. I remember that.
And they take her there.
Yeah.
And they dig stuff up, and they both have gotten downloads from these beings directly into their mind, just like Chris Bledsoe says he gets.
Mm-hmm.
But these two are scientists, and Bledsoe's not. So what he gets, he doesn't actually understand. He has to give it to somebody else. And she's talking about these men. I remember reading this book because I was on a stationary bicycle, and as it got weirder, I'd go faster and faster. So, you know, I'm reading it, and it turns out that people are pretty sure one of those men is Gary Nolan.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. I think it's been confirmed, like, straight up now.
Yeah, I think at this point it is definitely confirmed. I didn't want to say definitely confirmed because I hadn't found it before I got on, you know, on the microphone.
I feel like Dr. Pasulka has even confirmed it because it's now such public knowledge.
Okay, well, okay. That's true. Well, he said then that all of these medical processes and equipment and things that he's got patents on came from them.
Yeah.
So something's happening.
But again, that's not something new. I mean, people throughout history have had this happen to them that have nothing to do with UFOs.
Like inspired technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inspired
poetry,
art.
Music.
Absolutely.
Architecture.
And the downloads were so interesting to me when I was reading that book too, because it made me think of, like, you know, Philip K. Dick and his experiences with the satellite and the pink laser. Yeah. You know, and it told him about the tumor in his daughter's head. You know, I believe that was right. Was it about his daughter?
I think it was his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, he took her to the hospital and demanded they look at it, and they thought he was crazy. And then they did. They're like, oh, well, yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah.
Oops, we'll fix that. Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Was it in Cosmic, American Cosmic, where one of the scientists, I suppose, sees, like, the glowing raccoon?
Yeah, that's in the beginning of Jeff Kripal's book, Authors of the Impossible. It's in the intro.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in American Cosmic, too.
That is one of my favorite stories.
Oh, it's
one of my favorite stories.
So tell people what this is for those who don't know it.
Go ahead and tell it. It's great.
Oh, you know, Barbara, if you can tell it, I would prefer, because
details.
So, I've been hitting the head too much.
Okay. So that's what you get for being, like, into martial arts and stuff, dude. I just, you know, my exercise is getting on stationary bikes and reading weird crap so that I go fast. That's how it works. You don't get hit in the head that way. So this... this man who is a scientist of some sort, I just can't remember which, and I can't remember his name, is going out to the mountains to a cabin, and his daughter's going to meet him, grown-up daughter. And he takes groceries in, and he sets them down. It's at night. It's very dark. Can't see. And he has to go to the bathroom, but there's an outhouse. So he picks up his flashlight, and he goes down the hill towards the outhouse, and it's a little bit of a hike, and he's got his flashlight on, and he sees green eyes glowing in the shrubbery under a little pine tree or something. And he's like, whoa, stop, what? And then out pops this raccoon that's glowing. And I believe it's glowing the same color as his eyes. I believe there is a slight green glow to Mr. Raccoon. And the raccoon says to him, well, good evening, Dr. blah, 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 whose name I can't remember. And that's what he remembered.
Yeah.
That was it. He remembered a raccoon that glowed, had glowing eyes too, popped out of a shrub or a tree and said, well, good evening, Dr. So-and-so. And then he comes to in the house or walking back up the path with kind of an addled brain. And it's been hours. And he doesn't know what happened. So he was kidnapped by a talking, glowing raccoon.
Well, do we know he actually went anywhere?
Probably not. My guess is most people who are quote unquote abducted don't actually go anywhere.
Yeah, I think they
except in their minds.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that means it's all in their heads.
No.
Right.
It is.
I would probably even say their consciousness. Yeah, it's their consciousness that's traveling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
his poor body was probably sitting there on that path. I hope they at least let him go to the latrine first.
Or his body moved in time.
Yeah.
You know, to a few hours later without existing in between those two. I mean, we assume
that's
time.
That's also true.
Time is a thing that, you know, you can't get out of, but I think time does not work like we think it does.
No, it doesn't.
So going back to this disclosure thing, Josh Cutchin pointed out that Jason Colavito has been right on top of this whole thing. And has been doing a beautiful job. I don't always like Colavito because he is a debunker.
Yeah.
But a lot of the, you know, some he's one of the debunkers that will make good points. And someone said, Michael Schellenberger said, I am friends with and admire many hardcore UFO skeptics, and we should all be grateful to them for asking hard questions. But denying the testimony of these high security clearance individuals appears to stem from fear of the implication of UFOs, not critical thinking. And Jason responded with, critical thinking always involves not taking people's stories at face value without evidence. There is also no evidence that Grush told congressional counsel the same things he is telling the media, which at any rate, the Pentagon says is not classified material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anybody who thinks that the worries we have stem from disbelief in UFOs or fear of UFOs is just, they're just full of it. Because again, we're among some of the people who would like all of it to be true and that we would find out and we would know and it would be there in front of our faces, but that's not what's happening. And how many times has the intelligence community led people astray? Have we forgotten about Paul Benowitz now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, have we forgotten about an entire book written by Vallée called Revelations, which talks about all of these psyops?
Yeah. Or whatchamacallit, Lazar.
Yeah.
Or
the U2 bomber and various other experimental aircraft being hidden behind UFO sightings.
Yes.
So,
you know, go ahead.
Oh, there's also, Colavito said that Grush is promoting this UFO that Mussolini claimed to recover in 1933. And he says, it seems the claim dates to 2000 when Italian ufologists claimed to have received a leaked set of handwritten notes from the 1930s. Even the Italian ufologists noticed that the documents seem custom designed to promote Italy's primacy as the first country to address the UFO problem. But at any rate, there's no indication in these documents that the U.S. sees the UFO, a later mythical creation. Anyway, as you can see here, other Italian researchers are much more critical, and the story seems to be a complete fake, given seeming credibility in the U.S. due to the lack of translations of skeptical Italian sources. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's all, again, it's just, there's no evidence for any of these claims being made. There were no evidence for the To the Star stuff. There were bad videos, most of which had already been released. The only difference is we now knew where they came from, but it didn't really tell us what we were looking at, which is, of course, always the problem with video. There's nothing there, and people are pinning all this hope and stuff on it when there is a legitimate phenomenon, but you have to kind of, it's not going to be presented to us like, life on another planet would be.
Yeah. And it's all too weird. It's weirder than what this stuff is being presented as.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Weirder and sillier. And it always has been.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is basically, oh, yeah, extraterrestrials are here and occasionally they crash and we have their bodies. And it's like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Sure, you do.
Because there are so many extraterrestrials coming here that a small percentage of them crash. And I don't understand how Valet gets caught up into this stuff. Like, of all the people, you know, because he had some association with To the Stars. He wrote that Trinity book with Paula. And, you know, that's been, you know, we already did a show on that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's disappointing to see his name associated in any way with this stuff. But he's also connected to guys like Gary Nolan and everything else. And it's kind of like, man, what is happening? Like, this field is, you're seeing the people who should know better getting dragged into it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to kind of pull us back to a point Barbara said, too, with this about how it seems like it all wants us to think it's aliens. And part of that, I wonder, is, Barbara, you mentioned this in our chat, like how the timing of this after Valet kind of got trashed a little bit.
Yeah.
Came about. The other weird thing that I'm very suspicious of was, do y'all remember last month when Jake Paul or Logan Paul? Yeah, it was Logan Paul.
The guy who wrestles for the WWF?
Yeah. You know, he's just a social media influencer. Yeah. I mean, that's his whole thing.
Started off as a YouTube prankster.
Yeah. Supposedly, you know, he secretly recorded a video that someone else had of a UAP that was supposed to be like groundbreaking or something. And, you know, I always assume with a lot of these influencers, they can be used to put different things out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unknowingly. And so, like, I'm kind of like looking at the timeline of that at the end of last month and kind of going into this. And I'm like, man, you know, the breadth of work being done in so many different avenues to reinforce that point Barbara made about to make us think that it's extraterrestrials is interesting, especially when you've got.
I'm looking at the date when the UFO footage from Logan, but I didn't even know who he was. Logan Paul came out.
You're going to live a better life.
Yeah, I'm sorry
for knowing who he is.
My only experience knowing who he is that he wrestled and he was actually pretty good at it.
Okay, well, so it was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 2 weeks ago that the Valet Trinity thing came out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're having this. And Kane and Blumenthal were like, all jittery juttery to get it out there at a certain time.
Yeah.
In a certain time frame. And you know, what's interesting is the Logan Paul thing. He released his stuff with James Fox and Joe Rogan. We're having different
James Fox?
Yeah.
Logan Paul's thing was with James Fox?
That's what it says. Yeah.
So
we have different people who have different audiences being presented with similar things, all having to do with extraterrestrial alien things, and they all seem to be connected. See, people, we aren't debunkers. We're just kind of conspiracy minded. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they know how to do this stuff. I mean, they've learned how to manipulate people so freaking well at this point. And social media is you know, just a gift for them. Jason Calavito responded to something James Fox put out, but I can't find it. There's so much stuff on his Twitter. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I saw something from James Fox, who was totally into the whole thing. And I was like, oh yeah, of course.
No, don't do it, dude. No. And if we look at this, it just seems so, what was it Reagan said, that the only thing that would unite us as a world would be a common enemy to all of humanity? Okay, there you go. I'll just throw that out there.
Yes.
It's all from space.
Well, yeah, I'm sure part of this is to increase their budget to make space-based weapons. But, you know, unfortunately, that's where everything ends up. More weapons, more, you know, we're not going to fix things. We're going to learn how to break things better.
Well, we are good at it.
That's true.
I mean, you know.
I don't, it definitely feels orchestrated. It feels like nonsense. I mean, at this point, unless they're going to provide us with actual evidence, not just hearsay, actual evidence, it's the same nonsense.
Yeah.
So if someone steps up and says, look, we have a piece of an extraterrestrial craft, it can be, we'll send it to legitimate labs to be analyzed, and you'll see that this is not something we currently know how to make. At least then we'd be able to say, okay, that's interesting. If you say, I mean, if it contains something that we couldn't find on Earth, that would be more interesting. If you had an actual alien, obviously that would be a lot more interesting. But
now we know where COVID came from.
Right. But, you know, the closest things we get to actual aliens are mummies that look mm-hmm. weird, you know, and then yeah. they turn out to be human. You know, the Starchild skull was a fascinating skull, but it was clearly not, you know, extraterrestrial. And obviously the whole debacle there in Mexico with, look, here's these slides that are going to prove, you know, aliens, and people fall for it over and over and over again.
It's like, that's the skeleton of a fetus, people.
Yeah.
Or Greer's little, whatever the name of that he named it, this tiny...
The Sirius thing. Mm-hmm.
Was it Sirius? Was that it?
No, I mean, that was, I think, what he branded it as. It started I don't remember the name of it.
The name started with an A, but I can't remember.
Atmataka?
Maybe.
Something like that, yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, they did the whole documentary on it, and it turned out, well, it's human. And Greer just kind of glosses over that and continues on as if, you know, this was the news they were waiting for.
Thousands and thousands of dollars to do something that, you know, we can do on our own without spending thousands and thousands of dollars. And it still works high.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. The stuff Greer's doing is stuff that can work. Mm-hmm. It's just he's monetized it and turned it into
CD5. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not new. I mean, I think all of us probably started out as nuts and bolts people, because I think people.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that was the thing, you know, when you read stuff back in the 80s or before, it was all nuts and bolts. There were only a few people like John Keel and Valet who even suggested it was anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really wonder what John Keel's thoughts on all this would be. I imagine, I imagine they'd be hilarious.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He wouldn't trust any of those.
No. But his sarcastic wit would.
Oh yeah. And he would be upset that it wasn't more fun like Princess Moon Owl.
Right.
You know, if we're going to have people telling us stories about, you know, the things that are being hidden by the government, can't they at least be different and new and fun?
Right.
I remember seeing a clip of him from a Fort Fest in like the late 90s, maybe. And there was some book coming out about two kids that were on the at Roswell, but they were like 2 years old at the time, and they were now getting hypnotized to remember. And there were supposed to be all these revelations in the book, and someone asked Keel what he thought about that. He's like, okay, look, you know, first of all, they're 2 year olds. They don't know what they're looking at. Second of all, hypnosis doesn't work as a memory recovery thing, so that's all going to be nonsense. Basically, they're putting out a book of complete and utter nonsense, and you people are treating it like it's meaningful.
Yeah.
I don't know what book that was, if it ever came out, but geez, like, that description was just like, really?
Why would two-year-olds remember? I mean, would they remember the newspapers? Were they reading the headlines? Could they read? Yeah, just didn't know they could read.
Yeah, right. I guess they were present in some way.
Oh,
but they were two years old, and that was, you know, in 1948 or whatever. So, like, and this was in the late 90s.
Did the nurse carry her kid into the alien autopsy room? I mean, what?
Yeah.
What was going on? Nobody just carried their 2 year olds into all this stuff.
Oh my God. All right. Well, that seems like a good place to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barbara,
that was the most exasperated Soraya I've heard.
We've done our due diligence. We're done now.
Where can people find you, Barbara?
Oh, 6degreesofjohnkeel.com. Six, like a number, and the rest of it spelled out.
All right. Chris?
Brightrectangle.com. That'll take you anywhere you want to go.
And Saxon?
I am only on Instagram. I guess Saxon's actually on Facebook too, but Super Inframan is on Instagram.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.